not give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
There will be no sorrow there. In fact, tomorrow we will be there by and by.
And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night prayer. And actually, Pastor Fred has been a regular here on Monday nights, leading us in teaching. And lo and behold, I didn't open up with the conference room, and I'm so sorry. But and I did open up, folks, already. I opened with music and all. So, anyways, Pastor Fred is here. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's good to hear you, too. And it was a good day today, Pastor Fred, for me. And just
wonderful.
Yeah, I had a great day teaching yesterday at church, or preaching, and I spoke on Palm Sunday and the palm tree. So I went through scriptures, what the Lord says about the palm tree. And it was a great blessing.
Terrific. Great.
So,
we're going to be dealing with the same topic, but not palm trees. But the main reason that the people were called together on that day, what was it, 5 days before Jesus was crucified?
Yeah, it was like four or five days. So just one little thing that you may find interesting about the palm tree, God absolutely loves them. They're mm-hmm. special in his creation because the palm trees were etched, I guess would be, into Solomon's temple. And they were in the Holy of Holies there on the wall. And then in, the Lord's house in Ezekiel 40 through 43 there, mentions 10 times the palm trees. And that's the only tree or vegetation or anything like that that's mentioned in either Solomon's temple or the Lord's house in Ezekiel 40 there. So he has it all throughout his temple and his house are palm trees, the date palm. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. It is.
So
he really likes palm.
Yeah, he does.
Dates.
Yeah, the
dates are going to be good for you.
Yeah, they're very they're full of iron and they're very very they're sweet. They have a nice sweet taste about them. Well, let me open in a word of prayer, and you're going to be talking about Palm Sunday also?
Yes, dealing with that, yeah. A couple of the scriptures from it, yeah.
All right. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that this is the start. This is going to be a great week, Lord, because you're in it. We always start the week off with prayer that you would bless the week for all of us, protect us. So, Father, I'm asking now that you would be a real wonderful teaching time with Pastor Fred. Bless him, Lord. Thank you for the time he takes studying the Word. It bears much fruit. And whatever we do in this ministry is under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Okay, Pastor Fred.
All right, thank you. We're in Matthew 21, one of the classic mentions of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. Straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and this is the key, I believe. We have several different players on this day. You have the Lord Jesus going, you have the disciples, but you have Jerusalem full of people and all wanting to come to see Jesus because of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And there are many things going on here, but the thing that is the most important thing for us as God's people, we'll find told us both all in all these scriptures, but we'll get the point of it in a moment. So, and all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, Tell ye, the daughter of Zion, behold, your king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set them thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's go to John 12, and look at, even though the disciples were asked to go get the colt, they didn't know what was going on here. So let me read from John 12, on the next verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Listen to this verse 16. these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. So you have Matthew spilling the beans on the fact that it was prophesied before it happened, and then Jesus gets on the colt. But for us, let me go back before I get to that. Let me go back to Genesis 29, I think it is, or 49. Let me look. It's Jacob blessing his 12 in Genesis 49, 8 to 12. I want you to see there's more to this than just Jesus riding on an ass going into. There is an outburst of praise. And the point being, and I believe the point that we need to get from this, is not just that this is an amazing situation before Jesus goes to his death, but it's a lesson to us that praise comes before the worst thing that happens to you and me. We praise before, we praise during, and we praise after. This is the legacy of a Christian. This is the modus operandi of a Christian. We praise before, we praise during, and we praise after any situation, good or bad, wonderful or hurtful, sorrowful or happy. We praise first, we praise during, and we praise at the end. And I'll get to that. But right now, it's this remarkable scripture where Judah, and you know that Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, and in 29, verse 8 to 12, verse 8 to 12, he said, Genesis 29, 8 to 12, I got the wrong one.
49, Pastor Fred. Huh?
49. Yeah, that's it. My eyes again. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. But it's very interesting, 8 to 12. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Praise is the key here for this day for us Christians, God's people. How many of us have thrown our clothes down on the road or on an animal for the Lord Jesus and been that happy? But here it is, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Remember, this is a prophecy on Judah. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now listen to this, verse 11. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Now that's pregnant, full of things, but there it is. There's the ass's colt unto the choice vine. The ass's colt unto the choice vine in this blessing thousands of years ago on Judah, on the Lord Jesus. Now come with me to Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9. which is the typical one. And here is the message to us that Palm Sunday should bring. I mean, we can understand the people taking palms and throwing them on the ground, but we can't understand it. But it's praise. It's praise. It's praise before the Lord Jesus goes through the most horrible thing that was going to happen to him on earth. We praise before it happens. We praise during it. We praise after it. And listen to these words from 9:9. Rejoice greatly. Rejoice greatly. What does that mean? That means to praise. Now, the Psalms are full of words of praise and telling us to sing praises and to make praises. What is praise? Praise is to speak highly of. Praise is to acclaim, to applaud, to commend, or a commendation. It's a compliment. It's to extol. It's to hail. It's to celebrate or to eulogize. It's to exalt or glorify, to honor, to laud, to magnify. All those things are praise. And here, the prophecy, that which was written, pronounced that there would be this great praise. This praise, praise greatly. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, an interesting thing in Zechariah is that if you go from Zechariah 9:9 to Zechariah 14:4, you go immediately to the future, beyond when Jesus was going riding a foal into Jerusalem, beyond the crucifixion, beyond the return to the Lord back to heaven, beyond Pentecost. And let's look at it here, 14:4. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be, that's verse 1, shall be divided in the midst of thee. Then shall the, verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. That's the return of the Lord Jesus. He's going to come to the very same spot where he hopped onto a donkey and rode into Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? All right, now come to another picture of this in the Old Testament. Remember, Matthew said it was written in the Old Testament. John said the same thing. And he said that the disciples didn't understand what was going on. And so there was something happening through the Spirit right then. Who told Jesus to get the colt? He told his disciples to go get the colt, but who told Jesus it was time? Who told all those people coming into Jerusalem for Passover? They were coming to see Jesus, and they were coming to glorify him, to praise him, and to thank him for his great miracles and for who he was. And they threw their clothes down and they rejoiced greatly. And yet the disciples were not too much aware of Scripture or understanding it. Come with me to Deborah, actually in Judges 5, 1 to 3. Judges 5, 1 to 3. Then sang Deborah. There's this singing again and praising and Barak. Why? Because they've just destroyed the Midianites who were hurting them. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the God of Israel. Here they're singing and praising the Lord after the battle, after it's over. 9 to 11, have a look on Judges 5. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Praise ye that ride on white asses, white donkeys, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of the archers to the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of the villages of Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. There we have this praise again, this understanding of praise that we're called to, even on Palm Sunday. That's the whole point of it for God's people and for the people. Yes, it was an amazing thing for the Lord Jesus, but for us, it's a time of praise. It's to learn that we have to learn that praising, speaking highly of the Lord God, acclaiming him, applauding him, commending him, complimenting him, extolling him, celebrating him, exalting him, glorifying him, honoring him, lauding him, and magnifying him, comes before perhaps the worst things that happen to us. Praise is to be on our lips in all these situations. Praise. And then the Lord Jesus, remember, as he's going into Jerusalem, what did he tell the Pharisees? He told them, and I think this is in the Luke portion of it, in Luke 19, 28 to 44, which I will try to get. Am I making sense here, John?
Yes, I'm following you very closely, yes.
Luke 19, 28. Well, I don't want to read the whole, but I wanted to show this. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. This was, and it came to pass that when he came to nigh unto Bethpage, you know what the name of Bethpage means? The house of figs. Remember, Jesus went and dressed the fig tree at Bethpage. It's the house of figs. And then they came. These are on the side of the Mount of Olives, going into Jerusalem on the other side. It came to pass that when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, you know what Bethany means? House of affliction. So he went by the house of affliction and the house of figs to get to Jerusalem, to Gethsemane, which was the oil press. And all those three, Gethsemane, the village of Bethany, the village of Bethpage, were all on that side of the Mount of Olives. Anyhow, let me go back to what the whole multitude, verse 37 of Luke 19, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that had done, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered them and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And that's when he came near and beheld the city and wept over it. He's going through a hard time, the Lord Jesus. He knows he's going into Jerusalem. He's being lauded. He's being praised. He's being magnified. But he's going into a very difficult, difficult time. And this shows us, too, how we are given the opportunity to praise him, even knowing perhaps that we're going into difficult times. And even that's more important when we know that we're facing dark valleys or tough times, then we praise him. And as we go through it, we praise him. And as we go come the other side of it, we praise him. You know what the opposite to praise is? Disparage, blame. And those things happen too often in our hearts. We blame, we don't praise, we disparage, we turn our hearts away, we let our mouth say things that we shouldn't say. Praises come from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is praise. He is our praise in Deuteronomy 10:21. Psalm 22:25 says, "My praises shall be of you." Now let me kind of bring you to Numbers 21:16-18. There is this indication to us of how we should handle situations that come up, and they're telling us to spring up, O well, and sing to the well. And that's what praise is. When it's a beautiful statement here. Then Israel sang this song, verse 17 of 21, "Spring up, O well, sing unto it." The princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver and their staves. So there we have it. In situations, we have a well. The Lord Jesus told the lady, out of the water that I shall give him, it'll be a well springing up into eternal life. You sing to your well, my friend. If you're a born-again child of God, you learn to spring up, O well, and sing to your well. Sing praises to the Lord in every situation, in every trial, in every trouble. Jesus said, if you can't praise, well, the stones will praise. And I'm going to close off with going to 1 Peter 2, 2-9, calling us lively stones. 1 Peter 2, 2-9. I believe that we can learn from Palm Sunday not just this amazing ride of Jesus, the servant, the humble servant, riding to his death, basically, into Jerusalem. But he is 1 Peter 2, 2-9. Let me just read these. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And that's, if we've learned how to praise at the beginning of bad situations, in the middle of them, and at the end of them, when we praise the Lord, we are in a good way, trusting the Lord the way we should be. If so be that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto living stone, a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Praise is a spiritual sacrifice. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believed on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, we thank you that you have taught us and shown us that praises belong to you, and that you teach us as your followers that praise is comely, praise is required, praise is what we should start with, praise is what we should go through situations in life with, praise is what we should end with. We are not to disparage one another or you. We are not to blame you, Lord, we are to praise you. Thank you. Thank you for that teaching. Thank you for riding into Jerusalem as a servant and riding into and crying over Jerusalem, going in there and cleansing the temple and saying, if nobody was going to praise me, the stones would have praised me. Help us not to be stones that don't praise, but help us to be those stones which praise. Thank you. And we bless you, Lord, for this teaching in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, John.
Amen, Pastor Fred. Amen. Thank you. I'm sorry it ended. It was really, I could say everyone is your best teaching, but this was, it was rich. It was really, really good, Pastor Fred. Thank you. And thank you for all the time that you put in to study the word to tie that together. So I'm sure
we sang a lot of praise songs, and at least five or six of them, hymns, praise him, praise to the Lord Almighty, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Let's just praise the Lord. And then I had folk read psalms that mentioned praise. There's a lot of praise in the psalms and throughout the scriptures, and he's telling us always. It's something that happens within our well when we praise and sing unto the well. It's a beautiful thing. Sorry, I didn't want to go on. Thanks, John.
Yeah. No, that's really, really excellent. Excellent teaching. Thank you. Wow. You know, you are like the palm tree. How's that?
Amen.
Okay. And you get the palm tree, as it gets older, the fruit, it gets more fruit and it gets sweeter. How's that?
Amen. Wow, what a compliment. Well, praise God. That's the Lord.
Yeah.
Nobody else. I could never do that myself.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I was blown away by all the mentions of Asa's colt by Jacob with blessing Judah. By Deborah in her praise, and then Zechariah. But then he says, greatly, praise greatly. So that was the key that I pulled out of that.
And I think it was Judges 5:9. I'm going to use the word donkey there, or colt. It talks about white donkey.
Right.
Did you pick up anything? What does that mean?
Well, I thought the donkey, well, a young colt could have been white. They don't get their full color until they're older.
Okay, so that means it's young.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when it talks about the Lord coming into Jerusalem in Zechariah 9:9, and also, John 12, verse 13 there, riding a donkey.
Right.
That's humiliating. Kings ride regal horses, best.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But the servant, that's what was written. Yeah. It was written that would happen, and it couldn't happen any other way.
All right. So
the prophets had written it.
Right. But that
and even Judah in his receiving his blessing from Jacob, they had that planned well before. The Lord and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit had that one planned from a long time ago.
Yeah. So at his first coming, he comes to Jerusalem in a donkey, right?
Right.
That's humiliating. But he had done such great works, such mighty works, like they were still, that was fresh, raising Lazarus from the dead. That happened like 2 days before.
Yeah.
And they had all the witnesses to it. But his second coming, Pastor Fred, he's coming to Jerusalem on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what color horse?
White. White horse.
Right.
So kings ride horses. Servants ride donkeys. So it's amazing. Even that we don't really pay too much attention to it, I don't think. about coming in riding a donkey. We kind of have to know how kings
were. The culture of the day.
Yeah, we have to know that kings do not ride. They're hard to ride, Fred. They're awful. A donkey is such a hard ride. Well, horses, you can, you know, you could sit easy on them and kind of get in rhythm with them. But the donkeys would jar your teeth out of your mouth. Now, of course, they're going slow when he's coming into Jerusalem. But if you're on a donkey and it's riding fast, it's impossible. I mean, they are so hard, right? But anyways,
yeah, there had to be something with Jesus and the animals. It's like your father, John. Jesus was able to ride on a foal of a donkey never been ridden by
a
man.
Exactly.
It was your father was like that.
Yeah. Well, you're bringing back memories now. That's the threat. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was an expert horseman there from Ireland, my dad. And he with goats, too. He could get goats doing crazy things.
And deer. He could go up to deer.
Pastor Fred, and I don't know if I told the people here, I met with my dad's best friend, and isn't it a shame? I can't think of Tony Kiernan, and his son and daughter were there. Tony Kiernan's son and daughter. I went all the ways into the Bronx to meet with Tony, because I had met him a few times, but I was writing the book about my dad, and I wanted to get all the stories that I could from Tony. And all three of them, well, the two, the father and the son, told me they watched my dad. There was a herd of deer from where they were, and he walked kind of slow. And he went right up to the deer herd, and they were all looking at him, and he petted one of the deer. He rubbed it on the head. I said, "Are you serious?" "Yes." He said, "Yes, both of us saw it. Both of us saw it." Then the son said, "I saw him do it a second time." So how do you explain that, Mr. Fred? Oh, deer are skittish.
I explain that before Adam sinned, he did the same with the animals. He named them and he walked. Then nobody bit him.
Right.
And Jesus did the same with this young donkey that nobody had ever trained and had ever sat on. And your father showed that could be done.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you got my mind racing here because someone came with me and I don't remember. Of course, at that time I was living in the Harrisburg area of Pennsylvania. I don't remember.
Johnny, wasn't it? Johnny went with you?
It could have been my son. Yeah. It could have been my son, yeah. Johnny. Yeah. Could have been him. Oh, you remember it.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about Kiernan.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony Kiernan. Yes, that was his name. So I have stories in my book about my dad that I heard right from Tony's mouth there in that restaurant in the Bronx. I interviewed him there. And yeah, that's something. No, you brought that back, Pastor Fred. That's wonderful. I don't know who. I've never heard a story of anybody walking up to a deer herd, and there was one like outside the herd, it was a little bit by itself, and he just walked up. There must have been some aura about him that the animals picked up, right?
Well, even with human with dogs, dogs know when people are afraid or when they don't fear them. You know, there are certain. I believe that the animals can think in a certain way and know things. So, but I just believe Jesus was able to do what Adam was before sin.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's the author he's the creator. So yes, absolutely. But yeah, we wouldn't know that was humiliating in our day. But back in history, Kings rode horses. They didn't ride donkeys. Donkeys were work animals, and they were, you couldn't, it was almost impossible to ride on them because they were so hard of a, their movement was so hard on you.
Yeah, they have a jerky movement.
Yeah, hard. It's a hard, the horse, you can get in rhythm with it, like, you know, your donkey, you can't.
Well, thank you, John.
Well, yeah, thank you, Pastor Quinn. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the insight, Lord, putting things together from the scriptures. Pastor Fred, again, thank you all the time that he puts into studying the word. Blesses everything he does, Lord. Blesses finances. We want to bring Katie up before you, Lord, with the healing that's needed, Lord, in her digestive system from the cancer, that it will die. It will die in Jesus' name, and she will live. We speak health to her, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you now. Bless all his children, grandchildren, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Did, I sent you an email today. Did you get it?
What was this on?
Who's health? Was health.
Oh, I got that. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate it.
I'll be in touch with you now. Thank you.
Okay. Lord bless.
Amen. Amen. Well, Sister Kathy, and well, everybody, Sister Sharon.
Yes.
Sister Gigi and Brother Randy. I don't know which one to use. And then we have Sister Rita.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep.
We have Sister Rita. Rita here.
We are here.
I think that that teaching was so impacting me because I had just spent time really completely different area than him, but it was the same thing about Palm Sunday and the Lord coming into Jerusalem and on the donkey and all. And I have been just studying that. I spent quite a bit of time on it. And then he kind of had a whole different approach and all, but that was rich. That was really, really good. Really good.
Yes.
So it coincided so well what I, but it, you know, it was some of it a little bit overlapped, but it's nice to put it all together. What I heard today and what I've been studying to preach yesterday. So Sister Sharon, what is your comments?
I really liked it. I liked hearing that, you know, about love before, during, and after. And one thing about the donkey, and you mentioned that it didn't have any color in it. It was basically white. It was a young donkey. That to me was like Jesus, pure. No sin, no bad things. And so he got on a pure donkey that was still white with no color.
Very interesting.
That's my take on the donkey.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. I guess you could say it a pure donkey that had, I understand what you're saying. I can see it in my mind. A little hard to explain it.
Oh yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
but you know, just thinking of just that donkey just being looked at and seen, and they knew it was pure, and or he did, and he was God, and he knew he could sense it and feel it, and that's how he rode that donkey in the Jerusalem.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Karen. And then Sister Kathy, any comments here?
No, it was very, very wonderful. And impactful is a very good word to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought, like I said, I thought it was excellent. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rita, not Rita, Gigi and Brother Randy?
Yes. I actually felt like that was like a worship.
You thought what?
that it was his teaching and the way that he was doing it, I felt like that was worship.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. Very, very good. And donkeys have a different kind of body makeup than horses, so their backbone sticks out higher.
Right.
Not easy to ride. If you notice, most people riding donkeys, they're sitting side saddle. They're not just trying to ride it like a horse.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Their movement is jarring rather than a horse is smooth.
Right.
The horse can be smooth. And the donkeys aren't as high as horses, so when you sit on them like that, your legs are pretty well almost on the ground, depending upon how big you are. So,
somebody's kidding.
Does Brother Randy have any comments?
Do you have anything to say?
It was real nice, John.
Yeah.
And I don't know too much about donkeys, so I can't really add anything.
Okay.
I do think, I hadn't thought about that in a long time, that a servant rides the donkey, but he's coming back on a horse, which is what you said.
That's the first time I ever put the two together like that, right now. His first coming was on a donkey as a servant, a humble servant, and his second coming is on a horse as the king, as a king, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, that was good. Thank you.
Yeah, and he did bring back memories. It was with my son, John. I had Tony's phone number, and I gave him a call, and I told him that about the book, and I wanted to talk to him about things he knew about my dad. So he said, sure. So it's about a three-hour drive. Depends, maybe 4 hours from where I live to in New York, near the Bronx. So I met him, and his son was there, and his daughter was there. We had a real nice conversation. And those are the stories that came out of it, and others, about him. My dad was just different. I don't know anybody that can walk up to a wild deer, never heard of such a thing, and pet it. Come on. I mean, that is, and Pastor Fred kind of had a little bit more vivid detail than myself about it. That was amazing. Amazing.
Well, there are people that have that special ability with wild animals. So that your dad just had a special ability to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he's not completely unique, but I've never heard of anyone walking up to a deer herd, you know, wild deer in the woods, and just walking up directly at it, the deer standing there, and then he started to pet it on the head. He was petting it on the head. It's just strange. It's bizarre to me, you know?
Well, we used to have like 12 to 15 deer in our yard. And, I mean, but they were kind of tame because there were people around. But I remember walking out, there's a wall in the backyard, and this fawn walked right on the wall, right over to me. And yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's very interesting.
I've never had that happen.
No, it's very interesting what you're saying. Because they were telling me they pulled over onto the side of the road. It was like in a, I don't know where they were, but because the details now are foggy, but it wasn't like tame deer in someone's backyard. They were in the woods. They were in the back in the country, in the mountains there, the Catskill Mountains. And if I remember correctly, my dad told Tony was driving, and maybe the son, and he told him to pull over. And he said he was going to go to that deer herd. So it wasn't, and he got out of the car and he just walked very slowly and very calmly, and the deer were all looking at him. And then there was one of them a little outside the herd there, and he walked over and petted. So, yeah, tame deer, like in a neighborhood, that might be different, I guess. That's the details I remember about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Gigi, say anything?
No, I just said that. That's a very interesting story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they can get a little tame maybe if you're feeding them from your backyard and all.
No, I mean, we never fed them or anything. I used to scare them away, but this was just a little fawn. But they were just used to, you know, they were used to vehicles and kind of people. I mean, nobody was like feeding them. You don't want them in your backyard. They were destructive. They ate everything.
Oh, yeah. They eat everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they ate everything. So, but it is interesting. I mean, it's certain people do have very special gifts with animals, like horses and other kind of wild critters. So it's an interesting story. Thank you.
See, what's the thing about, since we're talking about my dad, what was so strange to me about him was I only knew him living in New York City, in the Bronx in particular. So his whole prior life, he came from Ireland when he was 22 when he came from Ireland? 17. Yeah, 22. So, and he didn't talk a lot to me about horses and things like that, farm animals, having goats and all. So when I saw him in action with horses, it was mind-boggling to me because I only knew him in New York City. Now, I mean, he got on a horse like it was, I don't know. He could go bareback on the horse and all. It's just mind-boggling to me to see him, you know, no, all of a sudden he's on a horse. And then the goat that time, I wrote about it in my book. He had that goat going crazy on its hind legs, rearing up and charging him with its head down and was playing with him. He somehow, but he didn't say a word. He just grinned at the goat and he was moving his hands a certain way. And the goat went crazy playing with him. I said, Dad, I said, the goat, it's be careful. He said, oh, no, we're playing. That's what he said. Oh, no, we're playing. Because my wife had a goat. We had a goat, but she got the goat and I got the sheep. We had a sheep and a goat. So he had the grandest time. Oh, he was laughing and carrying on. The goat was going out of its mind, hopping up and down, charging him with its head down, and never touched him. So after he left, for days afterwards, I tried to do the same thing he did. Nothing happened. The goat just stood there looking at me. Oh, anyways, those were the days. Yeah. Okay, we have Rita here. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. And hello to everyone out there. Pastor Fred teaching tonight was a blessing to me.
Amen. Amen.
I am so glad that he comes every Monday. It's just a blessing to hear him teach. And also, if I remember right, someone was told to me is that a horse cross when you cross a horse, with a mule, you get a donkey, and the donkey cannot reproduce.
No, it's the other way around.
What did I say? So if the horse is crossed with the donkey, you get a mule.
Right. But now here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the horse has to be the male and the donkey the female, because there's another animal called a jenna, a jennet or a jenna. Yeah, you really never hear of them. And it's the opposite.
No.
It's the opposite. And the jenna is not as strong as a mule. You can't do anything with it. You know, the mules they have for power, for pulling. The donkeys are out a little bit smallish. They're strong, but the mules are big like a horse. I think you can ride a mule somewhat. It's somewhat easier to ride a mule. But there's the reverse is a jenna, and they are, as far as work animals and all, they are useless.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that about rather the horse or donkey has to be a certain set to produce to produce a mule.
Yes.
But a mule a mule that cannot reproduce, right?
Right.
Okay. Yes. So what is it? Is it just it's neither female or male, right?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Is there male only mules, or can there be male and female? I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. I know you can ride them, the donkeys are almost impossible.
Okay. Now a donkey, I don't even know what a donkey, I kind of think I know what a donkey looks like, but I don't know what the difference be. Now a mule is almost as big as a horse, correct?
Yeah, they can be big.
Okay, well. Whereas a mule is not, I mean, a donkey is not that big.
Right. A donkey is, even, you know, like a big full-size donkey, if I was to get on it, my legs would probably almost be touching the ground.
Okay. Interesting. The Lord's creation is very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think I've ever seen, in fact, while I'm talking to you, I want to look it up. I don't think I've ever seen a jennet. I don't think I've ever seen it. They're very rare. You know, mules can be common. But the other one, they don't breed them because they're just, you can't do anything with them.
Well, I know what a donkey looks like, but I don't think I've ever seen a mule in my whole life.
You may have, and it's a horse.
Are they I don't know what can I use. Elegant has a horse. You know, horse is just beautiful. It's just nice. Or it's a horse, or it's a mule, just more kind of on the stocky side.
Okay, I'm looking this up while we're talking. The mule is a domestic equine hybrid between a donkey and a horse. Its offspring is the offspring of a male donkey and a female horse.
Okay.
Rita, did you ever see the Waltons TV show?
No, I never watched that. I know a lot of it was very popular, but I had no interest in it.
Had a mule on there, so if you'd have seen it, you could have said, yes, I saw that mule.
Okay, now here it is. Here it is here. Let's see. The mule is easier to obtain and more common than the henny, H-I-N-N-Y, which is the offspring of a male horse stallion and a female donkey, a jenna. So I never heard of henny, but jenna I have heard of. And that's what a female donkey, I know. But anyways, let's see the hinny. Let's see what that, H-I-N-N-E-Y. H-N-H-I-N-N-Y. Looks like a mule to me, but no, Henny, H-I-N-N-Y. Jenny is a female, it's another name for a donkey.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll get into some prayer now. And Sister Sharon, would you lead us off in prayer, please?
Yes, I sure will. I'll be happy to. Oh, dear Father God, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you that we get together once again and talk. I have a little mini sermon and be able to talk about that too and put out our ideas on what was said and stuff. And it's such a joy to hear other people's ideas and opinions and to also be able to voice our own. So, dear Father, I just thank you for this. I thank you for your son riding in on a donkey because we just had such a wonderful talk about this just now. And with it being the Holy Week and stuff, that we can put this all in our minds about what's going on, you know, with the palm branches being laid down in front of Jesus while he was on the donkey. And that in itself is a wonderful story. And I just thank you for that. And I know this whole week is going to be filled with excitement and expectations as we get ready to go over your crucifixion and your resurrection from the grave and stuff. And we all will enjoy that. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we can be together as a group and gather strength, and that we can get together and prepare ourselves to go tell others about you, because it's so important that we do. We need to let other people know why you did this, why you rode in on a donkey and stuff, and some of what it meant. And even the palm branches too, dear Father God. I love the sermons and the teachings about the palm branches and the palm trees and stuff, and I just hope that we can do that again very soon. And I just am so happy that to be here again with everybody from Abba Father, and I just pray that for everybody around the world with the Abba Father's groups and stuff, and I just pray that they are preparing for Easter also and stuff. And I just pray for their safety, and I pray that they have food and water and shelter and stuff. And of course, for us here in the States, that we don't have it nearly as difficult as they do. And I just thank you, dear Father, for Chaplain John and the time he takes to go over things. And excuse me, it just makes the studying of all of the stuff are much easier and interesting. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father, for being able to read that Bible and to come to understand, you know, with all the verses that we can find on one topic all throughout the whole Bible. It's just wonderful, and it's nice to have people willing to go through the Bible and collect those verses and to tell us about them. So, dear Father, I just want to thank you for the ride in on that donkey as you did, and it's your son. And I just am so, so thankful that we can pray and talk about it. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Sister Sharon. Sister Kathy.
Okay. I kind of figured you meant me. So, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you for your goodness and mercy, your peace that passes all understanding, joy, unspeakable, full of glory. We worship you in spirit and in truth, and we thank you for all you did to get our salvation. all you set up, Lord, for eternity, for us to be able to enjoy it with you and worship you right there for now and ever. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for all that it took to document and detail and preserve, and just thank you for everyone who lost their life, God, giving life and protection to the Bible. And we thank you that you are the living word. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you that people are coming to the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for the awakening. Thank you for the revival. Thank you for the renewal. Thank you that it will take place before your second coming. And Lord, I thank you for the fivefold ministry, their spouses and children, home and foreign missionaries. I pray and thank you for Christian TV, Christian radio, Bible printing companies, tract printing companies, YouTube, Rumble, all phases of social media that brings people together, brings digital work from 1733 and before to the front. And it is just amazing how the word is coming alive, Lord. People have read it for generations, and now it is just taking a life of its own, because it is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces and it divides asunder the soul and the spirit. It's just goodness gracious how awesome it is. So we thank you for this Holy Week. We thank you for this Passion Week. We thank you for people that are turning aside and listening, hearing that still small voice, and seeing the effects of a burning bush, and just knowing that you are God, and beside you there's no other. Lord, I pray for the missionary that was kidnapped at gunpoint from his church as he was preaching or teaching. We pray he is safe. We thank you for the Army Rangers that are getting involved. And Lord, we thank you for President Trump and Vance and Johnson and all of his cabinet and people. And we thank you that the left cannot naysay and change reality. And this arsonist, Lord, he turned himself in. But he had been to every Democratic place where Kamala was, and all these things that he did. He was in BLM and Antifa, and he was just bad to the bone, and Palestinian revolts, Lord. So thank you that is going to be a sign that people will be caught, they will be tracked, they will be exposed, and they will not get away with it. So we thank you for that, Lord. Again, we just pray for the first responders, the police, the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Space Force, every form of law enforcement. And we pray for just the safety of them, God. And thank you that there are people that love society enough to give their life and offer their life to protect the people. That is so awesome. Bless Chaplain John. He's got a very, very, very busy week, and we just pray for his strength, his focus, his clarity, his just his being led by your spirit, Lord. If he's thinking one thing, and that's good, but then if you tell him to go a different way, he does that. And so we thank you that he yields to your spirit, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you have imparted into him and Nancy. And just thank you for this awesome family. And thank you for Abba Father International Fellowship. Every single person that's been a part of it, is in it now, is just telling other people about it. We just thank you. Thank you, thank you for the Spirit of the living God being in us, living and moving and having its being in us, so that the world will know you're coming back. You came one time, you're coming again. And this time, it's forever. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that at the first time you were a lamb, the second time a lion. Lord God, you are awesome. And we love you and praise you and thank you. And everybody that's on our prayer list, everybody that's in Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, X, Dialpad, and on archives, all of their prayer list, we include them in this prayer right now. Anything, everything, and all things. And we just love you now with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and our neighbor as ourself. And we give you glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I have an article here I want to share with you because it's so... I can't think of the word. Accelerating, I want to say, but that's not the word. Anyways, it's so edifying. And President Trump today released his statement about Resurrection Week and the resurrection of the Lord. So I have, it's fairly long, and I posted two paragraphs. So let me, and then this is my comment about it. All right, here's the title. Trump recognizes start of Holy Week. History was forever changed by resurrection of Jesus Christ. So my comment was, this is so good. Please take time to read the entire article. The way it is written, President Trump has to know Jesus Christ as a savior. So I don't think that he wrote it. Probably because he has he has a department now of his presidency to protect Christianity. So I'm sure someone wrote it. That's my opinion. But just to acknowledge it is incredible. So listen to this. Through the pain and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Now this is quoting him. We saw God's boundless love and devotion to all humanity. And in that moment of his resurrection, history forever changed with the promise of everlasting life. Trump continued in his post. As we approach this joyous Easter Sunday, I want to wish Christians everywhere a happy and very blessed holiday. America is a nation of believers. We need God. We want God. With his help, we will make our nation stronger, safer, greater, more prosperous, and more united than ever before. Thank you. Happy Easter. In the presidential message, Trump highlighted how Holy Week is the time for reflection for Christians to memorialize Jesus' crucifixion and to prepare their hearts, minds, and souls for his miraculous resurrection from the dead. Now, this is Trump reading this. Beginning with Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and culminating in the Paschal, and I don't know what this is. I have to look it up. Triduum. Does anybody know what triduum means? T-R-I-D-U-U-M, which begins on Holy Thursday with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, followed by Good Friday, and reaching its pinnacle in the Easter Vigil of Holy Saturday night. This week is a time for reflection for Christians to memorialize Jesus' crucifixion and prepare their hearts and minds and souls for his miraculous resurrection from the dead. And it's just chock full of great things there. So it's in my blog right now, and I recommend you go to it and read the whole thing. Any comments, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, that word you said I saw today, and I'm getting my phone to look it up because I had never seen it before either. And I'm like, I just cannot remember what what it said, but it shouldn't take just a second because it was in a handout that tells us where the meetings are each day this week. Okay, hold on 1 second.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Tritium is because not everybody practices this, but it's the three, obviously three tri. And it's the observances of Maundy, Thursday, and then Good Friday, and then Resurrection Day. That's okay. What that is.
Okay.
Not everybody does that, but it's just 3 days.
All right, and I was thinking that wasn't the way this was spelled, but this says Good Friday, TENEBRAE service. And Tenebrae, so I have no idea. It says we will honor the sacrifice of Jesus with a service in the sanctuary. So disregard my word, Tenebrae.
Okay. All right. I'm giving another quote here from the article from Trump. From this sacred week, we acknowledge that the glory of Easter Sunday cannot come without the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. In his final hours on earth, Christ willingly endured excruciating pain, torture, and the execution on the cross out of deep and abiding love for all his creation. Through his suffering, we have redemption. Through his death, we are forgiven of sins. Through his resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. On Easter morning, the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty, and a light prevails over darkness, signaling that death does not have the final word. Now, whether Trump wrote this or not, which I probably think he didn't, I mean, that's his words standing there, you know, giving this to the whole nation. Isn't that, Sister Kathy, this is mind-boggling.
It is, Chaplain John. I cannot commend him enough, and I am so glad for that faith department. And I mean, this nobody can deny that he's trying to move us into a Christian nation, a godly nation.
Yes. Oh my, yes, Sister Kathy. Oh my. I'm reading towards the end now. Trump's recognition, I'm picking out what it looks like really good chunks here. Trump's recognition of Holy Week comes as the White House is preparing for an extraordinary Holy Week celebration, according to Fox News. Jennifer Korn, the faith director of the White House Faith Office, that's what I was telling you, Trump started Faith Office there, told an outlet that Trump will honor and celebrate Holy Week and Easter with the observance it deserves, and added that throughout the week, a Holy Week proclamation will be sent out among other things. Throughout the week, he will distribute Holy Week proclamations, a special presidential video message, and a host of pre-Easter dinner and White House staff Easter service, Korn explained. I mean,
yay.
Last year at this time, we were on the precipice of this nation heading right directly into the lake of fire.
Amen.
And now this year, we're before the throne of God. I mean, this is the biggest 180 degrees. I don't know how there ever was a bigger 180 degree change for a nation. Mm-mm. Anyways.
No.
Now, I don't know what the foundation of the country is. It's fragmented, like, California, parts of it are just awful, and Oregon and Washington and New York and that, and others are solid. But this, Sister Kathy, is this here, could this possibly, and I'm just throwing the question out. I'm not saying, could this possibly open up things for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit?
You reckon?
I don't know. I don't know.
I do. I mean, how could it? Honestly, I'm going to ask a question. How could it not?
Yeah. I hear you. I mean, I'm kind of like dumbfounded that it's coming this way. You know what I mean?
You weren't suspecting it.
Right. Has the Lord raised him up to? I mean, let's hear what the rest he says during the week. I mean, what I heard so far, because this is the second yesterday, and then today this is the second proclamation and things. But this isn't just like some politician pandering to his Christian base. This is the real deal. I mean, the real deal. I mean, Christ died on the cross. The resurrection couldn't take place except Christ died on the cross, his horrible death to pay for our sin. And now the resurrection, we have assurance of eternal life. I mean, that's good old fashioned pulpit preaching.
It is. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's setting in motion like the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Sister Kathy, I can never think in the history that I'm aware of. Well, here in the United States, it's never happened like this. Abraham Lincoln said incredible things in his second inauguration. The presidents would say, have a blessed Easter, holiday. They would say things like that. But this, I mean, spelling it out.
Yeah.
And the way he's doing it, the whole week, the resurrection.
I was going to say each week, a different layer each day.
Yes. So I wanted to bring this out so we can all give thanksgiving for this. This is.
Amen.
John?
Yes. Yes, Gigi.
I just wanted to say, because the Triduum is Latin, obviously, for 3 days. But what I thought was significant is that the Maundy Thursday is a celebration of the Last Supper. So it's the Last Supper, the crucifixion, and then the resurrection.
Okay.
So I thought that was really significant, that it's the whole story.
Right. Well, the more we explore this, Sister Gigi, the more we explore this, the better it gets.
Yes.
I mean, this is like, we didn't pray for anything like this. You know what I mean? We just prayed for like a political, I'm sure maybe others were praying. Maybe others prayed and all, but God is like pouring this out above anything we could imagine. It's amazing.
Ephesians 3:20.
It's amazing.
Well, this is having far-reaching things that are going on. If you look at what's going on, like in Hungary,
yes,
and in Poland, they're doing all kinds of specialized celebrations around this time. Now they're out in the streets singing ancient hymns. And there's a lot of things going on around the world where people are starting to understand how important their faith is in Christ. So I think, we've been praying for worldwide revival and revival here. So obviously it's not going to be everybody, but I think that this is an answer to all of our prayers.
Yes.
It's going like this.
Yes.
John?
Yes, Randy.
One of the most significant things about this to me is that, everybody's been saying, is he a believer? Is he a believer? There should be no doubt about whether he's a believer, because he had already said, in effect, that he believed in God, because he said God had saved him from the assassination attempt. But this focused specifically on Jesus.
Right.
And it focused on both. He focused on both the death and resurrection.
Right, exactly.
When you put the pieces together, it wasn't a personal testimony of being a believer, but it had the elements there.
No, but he's showing other people. This is it's a witness. That's what I view it as. This is a witness.
Yes. I mean, if he was a typical politician, he would never say things like this. Well, because this will offend the Jews. This will offend the Muslims. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care. So about who he's offending. And think of the hard left here, the woke and the communists and all. They must be like, I mean, the seething hatred to hear what he's saying. Yeah. My, oh, my.
Spitting nails. But you know what I'm just seeing? It's like where the truth fell in the street. How much truth is being picked up now off the street? It's just getting in reality for sure.
Yeah, and Fox News is covering it. That's where I'm like picking it up from is Fox News. So this here, I mean, he's got the gospel that he's giving in a very clear, nice way. So, I couldn't help it. I went down to the comments. There's 1,700 comments. And the first one says, the pain and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was an example of God's, he's quoting Trump, boundless love and devotion to all humanity. Trump continued to wish Christians around the world a happy and very blessed Easter holiday. Now, here is the comment. It's no wonder the dims and libtards hate this man so much to the point of insanity. Of all the things they hate and loathe, and there are so many things, Christianity rates on the top of their list. Oh, my. He says, no wonder the dims and libtards hate this man so much to the point of insanity. Oh, man, I had to share that with you. That was too much. That is too much. So something big is happening. It's big. He's shaking the world. And I'm reading about, I don't know anything about tariffs. You know, there's all theories on them and economics and all. But political insiders said that the New World Order, the World Economic Forum, the deep state and all of that, one of their major tools was tariffs to drain the wealth out of America. And draining the wealth out, they were building up their system. It's like were taking that and they were sending money all over the world, American money, sending it all over the world to promote transgenderism in Ecuador, you know, to promote homosexuality in India. I mean, it was crazy things all over the world. And that's all gone now. Trump has cut that all off. So they were using tariffs to drain the wealth out of America, put us in inescapable debt. And while they were draining the wealth out, they were promoting their sin all over the world to the point where we would collapse. We couldn't. They would drain every penny of debt and put us in such debt that there was no way out. There's no way that we could survive the debt. And that's why Trump's doing what he's doing. He has broken their money engine. He has broken it, and he's in the process of bringing the money back to America and away from what they're doing in Europe with it and what the Chinese are doing with it and what the Mexicans and the Canadians are doing and all. He's broke that, and he's going to bring it back here. Amazing. I had no idea that I knew the debt, but that it was structured by the New World Order to drain us dead and at the same time build up them as the New World Order. Amazing. And he broke that. He broke that, among other things. Amazing. So this is a full spectrum move by God using him right now. And he's protecting Israel. He said today that Iran will not have a nuclear weapon.
And see, at the same time, he is exposed. He's pulled their sheep clothing off and exposed them as wolves, because it was like, we're good people, we're doing this, and they were feeding the frenzy overseas, but funneling money back to their accounts.
Yes.
So they've all enriched by millions and millions
yes.
of dollars.
Yes. They were using the wealth of the United States to enrich their corrupt selves and to promote their agenda, to promote
yeah.
the money from the United States was promoting these wicked politicians in other countries and promoting transgenderism and homosexuality and drag queens and all this stuff, all wickedness. They were using the United States to do the United States money and then draining all our wealth out.
Yeah.
What
That's
a scheme.
Sad, but thank God for Trump and
yes.
thank God for God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we can't thank you enough, Lord. I mean, we're seeing the big picture. Of course, you knew this all the time. And, Lord, I knew you were doing something big with him, Lord, for President Trump. Otherwise, no way he could have made it this to the presidency, Lord. I mean, this deep state had him, you know, from 10 different ways. And you blocked them all, Lord, every single way. The assassin bullet was like impossible. You know, we've shared this, Lord, physically, or what would you call it? Aerodynamics, something impossible. A moving, his head was moving and the bullet was coming straight at him at that speed. And it had only that, that trajectory. Otherwise, it would have hit him in the front of the ear and penetrated his skull, or hit him in the back of the ear and penetrated his skull. It's a miracle, dude. So I had faith that you were going to put him in the office, Lord. You kept him from the assassin's bullet, from killing him. Immediately, he's got Israel's back. Immediately. He's draining all the wealth out of Iran now. Biden was pouring the wealth in. He's draining it out, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for all of this. And then here now, Lord, all this corruption and all of this, Lord, you're using him to drain now and stop the money flow to the evil, Lord, in incredible ways. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, this is way, your plan is way beyond anything we could foresee, Lord. Only as it's all exposed, then we can see it. Thank you, Lord. We're asking for his physical protection, Lord, that you still have a big plan for him, Lord. And we thank you for cleansing us in a way, Lord, with this resurrection week. They're not calling it Easter week, Lord. They're calling it resurrection week. And sometimes they use Easter, and then other times it's Resurrection Sunday, they're calling it, Lord. We thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that this week, Lord, would be a way of cleansing the nation of what Biden did, Lord. We're making Resurrection Sunday LBGQ transgender coming out day or something like that, whatever it was. We thank you, Lord, with this change. I pray him promoting gospel, Lord, and clearly promoting it about his death for sin and his resurrection for eternal life. Lord, that you would bless the nation, that a move of your spirit would hover over us now, Lord. Where Satan and his demons were hovering over, the Holy Spirit will hover over. Lord, I don't know of this ever happening before in any nation. This might be unique in history, Lord. I can't think of it ever happening in England, American history for sure. mean, there's been acknowledgement of Easter and all, but not giving the gospel, not for the resurrection week. That's definitely never happened before. Never. Incredible. Incredible. I can't think of it happening in any European country ever. So, Lord, this is unique. This is unique. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to all people. So, Lord, we were the reproach, the condemnation, and the awfulness of what happened last year. And I pray our nation is exalted now. Righteousness exalts a nation. Exalted for you, Lord. And you will continue to pour your blessings out. Now, Lord, we need, even though Trump is doing great things, Lord, President Trump is doing great things, we need repentance, Lord, for all this wickedness that was engulfing us, Lord. And we were like drowning, and you pulled us out, Lord. But we really do need thanksgiving for what's happened and repentance, Lord, for the wickedness. There are certain states, for example, Lord, that are promoting transgenderism, no matter what, Lord. They're not giving it up. It's like a bone in the mouth of a junkyard pit bull. They're not giving it up, Lord. Maine is one of the leaders in this, and other states are also. We repent of this, Lord. They are hardening. As you are moving in the nation, Lord, and you're rising like a mighty man of war in our midst, they're getting harder and harder, Lord. You can see it. So, Lord, we're repenting of this. And we're asking, Lord, despite it's what's going on in Maine, what's going on in there are certain areas in California. They're putting men in women's sports. And once they do that, Lord, that's woke. And there's a whole load of other things that go along with that, Lord. All sorts of homosexuality and lesbianism. And they promote all sorts of sin like that, Lord. They'll promote it in the libraries, the young children corrupting. So, Lord, we need a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. You're doing something, Lord. And this might be, we might be into focus. We might be seeing the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit since Pentecost, Lord. I hope, Lord. We're hoping for it, Lord. We're hoping that what's unfolding before our very eyes now with President Trump will lead to the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit the world has ever seen. Or the United States, Lord, but we want it to spread beyond the United States. Or those great revivals, Lord, the first great awakening, that shook the country, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way and had us ready to endure the revolution and win, Lord, to win our freedom. And Lord, even when we won our freedom there with the Treaty of Paris in September 1st, 1783, it was in the name of the Blessed and Holy Trinity. That was the preamble to the nation. We were birthed as a nation in the name, the preamble, in the name of the most holy and blessed Trinity. Amazing. And then the great revival of 1800, Lord, you use that to thrust the nation out into the worldwide missionary movement, Lord. And then the great revival of the third great awakening, that the country was collapsing. And you sent that great revival. It turned the country around. In the North in particular, it strengthened for the Civil War, Lord. Your move in the South took place really at just immediately prior to the Battle of Gettysburg. Lord, and missionary, we know what happened, Lord, how the move of you from that Third Awakening went up to Canada, Lord, and went to all, really, the English-speaking countries, New Zealand, Australia, Lord, England, Scotland, Ireland, Lord, then it went into Europe, and it even affected the great move, the Armenian move, Lord, in like 1859, and amazing things, Lord. Then Azusa Street, Lord, which brought your great power back in a mighty way, Lord, worldwide. And then we thank you for the Jesus Revolution, Lord. It certainly changed America, and it brought tremendous salvation to a tremendous amount of Jews, particularly here in America, Lord. And we've been in a parched land, Lord, for many years now here. There's been great things done here and there, Lord. But the nation as a whole, Lord, it's been spiritually parched. And we need now the latter rain, as the prophets foretold. We need the latter rain that will bring tremendous life to the country. Ignite your church here, Lord. When your church prayed politically, Lord, you answered and you put President Trump in office. Look what happened. It was your church here, the remnant here, Lord, that you heard and moved. And I have to say, Lord, that remnant is more than here. I know it's in Pakistan, Lord. I know it's in India. I know it's in Kenya from the ministry. They closely watch America. They know they're wiser in many ways about what you're doing here than we are. They understand the glue of America is like spiritual glue here, kind of holding things together. So, Lord, we want to see it spread, Lord. Mighty, mighty move. We want to be a part of it, Lord. We are, and we thank you for how much you've used us already. But this is something that's changing, Lord, in the atmosphere. I can sense it. I can feel it with the spiritual atmosphere. This is a bold move, Lord. Dealing with these principalities and powers here, proclaiming the President of the United States, proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, proclaiming that Christ, out of his own lips, Lord, that Christ died for our sins, his suffering on the cross paid the penalty for our sins, and he rose from the dead for our eternal life. From the highest office in the land, he's bold for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Take us to the new level, the next level. The next level is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like the world has never seen. Thank you, Lord. The world, America is ripe for it, Lord, with all the fear in the people and all of the depression and hopelessness in the people, Lord, and all the loneliness in the people and all of the taking drugs, legal and illegal, or self-medication, Lord. They're ripe to hear about healing the brokenhearted and setting minds free and being freed from oppressed of the devil, Lord. The multitudes here are ripe for the gospel, Lord. So they are worldwide also. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough. So exciting. And Lord, one other thing, this is sort of like a side issue, but I'm asking for the release of all that information about President Kennedy's assassination, Bobby Kennedy's assassination, Martin Luther King, Lord. I asked it would come out about Trump, that criminal element in the FBI was involved, Lord, and it's silence now. Really, nothing about the assassin. Nothing, Lord. Just silence. I'm asking it would come out about Epstein and that it would expose this criminal element in Washington, Lord. So it's on the verge, Lord. It's been promised. So whatever is hindering it, Lord, within the government, the Justice Department, the FBI, break that, Lord. I'm asking you, well, I guess, Lord, the old timers are really interested in this. that all of it will come out about what happened with the assassination of John Kennedy. Everybody, particularly that was alive at that time, we'd like that to be revealed as a little side issue, Lord. And that the ones that did it, Lord, even though they're all long gone now, would be held accountable in the public, Lord. They would be like Benedict Arnolds, Lord. That's what we're asking for. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen, amen.
Amen.
Well, I happened to open my eyes and look at the time, and I went, whoa, man, I was on a roll, Sister Kathy. We were heading towards midnight. We were heading towards midnight tonight.
Yeah.
So
it's 11:59, and he's coming back at midnight.
Yeah, the midnight cry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear from Gigi and Randy.
John?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be interesting to know the effects of this on the Trump family? Like a testimony from Melania, Barron, or Donald Jr. I mean, we would hope that they would be saved out of this whole process. And we pray for their salvation.
That's very thoughtful, Randy. You're right on about it. I want to say one thing about Melania. I didn't really care one way or another. She's just the first lady. She's certainly Biden, Jill Biden. That woman revolted me. There was something about her it was something aura. She was giving off evil. But once Melania wrote that book, and I was shocked. You know, she wrote some book, and she was being interviewed about it, and she is a hardcore abortionist, pro-abortion.
She is?
Oh, yeah. Take that to the bank. Hardcore.
Wow.
It's a woman's body, and she can do what she wants with it. I mean, I was blown away. Wow. I haven't gotten over that since. So Trump is on a different track than her. President Trump is on a different track than her. Yeah, but she is covering. She's got a cover on because deep down inside, she's a hardcore liberal. When I heard it, I watched her being interviewed arrogantly. You know, it's a woman, abortion. It's a woman's body, and she could do what she wants. And they said, well, what did the president say when you told him this? He said, well, I can't control you. You're going to write that. Well, it's up to you. But, so I was so shocked. It traumatized me a little that, I'm happy when she's not with him that much. If you noticed a little bit, she's with him.
Yeah.
But I'm happy when he's doing things and she's not there. So, Randy, it'd be great to pray for her that the Lord would have her repent of this. And
but also Barron and Trump Jr. and the other son, you know?
Yeah.
Can he pray now?
Absolutely.
Do you have time?
Yes, sure. Well,
go ahead.
Lord, we pray that John may not be a evangelist to all each of us individually, but we would pray that he would be an example and an evangelist to his own family. And we would pray for what's his other son's name? Jared?
Jared
Kushner? No, his daughter.
That's
anyway, we would pray for the whole family, Barron, yes, and Donald Jr. and Melania. We would pray Melania would become an ex-liberal, an ex-pro-choice. People can change, and it's not easy, but we pray in her case, standing close to where Trump is now and with this Holy Week, that she would also be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Randy. Thank you. Do you have anything, Gigi, you want to pray?
I just want to pray for the safety of everyone because, you know, the word out in Iran is that they're going to assassinate Trump. So
No. You got to change that. From us, they're going to try.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's a good point. Yes, thank you. So, Lord Jesus, we just lift your name. We glorify you. We praise you. And, Lord, all of these evil plans that people have been making, you have overridden them. You have not allowed the evil to take over in the ways that they have been confessing them. So, Lord, we just pray for protection. We pray that you would, if this is what you did with Israel's enemies, that you would confuse the enemies, especially the enemies against our president and all the other people who are carrying out what they want to do, but you are in control. And so we're asking you for a hedge of protection around everyone, including Trump, and all of the people that are serving, that are focused on doing the right thing. We pray that all of them will come to Christ. We pray over our military and all the different branches of people that are in our country that are protecting, helping, watching over. And we pray for Israel too. We pray that there would be a huge outpouring over Israel and protection over Netanyahu and their IDF. And Lord, we're just praying that every single evil plan would be canceled. And you override evil, and we're seeing that happening in such total miraculous ways. So we just want to thank you, and we ask you that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you are the mighty God. And we just want to praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Rita. Yes. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Now.
Okay.
I'm looking here. Yeah, we only have a minute before closing. Now, I don't mind staying late, a little later. So I just want you to know, and what I want to close after you finish, I want to read the prayer covenant because I think it's very important in light of this. We're praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, okay, Sister Rita. So I'm going to let Rita's going to pray and then I'll close with the prayer covenant.
Okay.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. I'll keep it short. Father, I thank you for today. Father, you are my refuge, and you are my shelter. You are my Savior, my Lord, and my God, Father. And I thank you, Father, for giving me life and giving me a more abundant life, Father. And thank you for loving me, Father, when I did not deserve it. Father, I pray for Chaplain John, I pray that you would guide him and direct him in all that he says and does, that you would strengthen him and encourage him and his family, and that you would bless the relationship, you would bless Chaplain John's marriage. And I give you thanks, Father, that for your continuing healing of Nancy, Father. I also pray, Father, for Netanyahu. I pray for the saving knowledge of his son and his wife. And I pray, Father, that he will love you with all his whole heart, soul, and mind. And I pray, Father, that you would bless the marriage between Netanyahu and his wife, and protect him, Father, from the evil men and women of this world, Father. And also, Father, I pray for President Trump And I give you thanks, Father, for clearing up our questions on whether or not he is or is not saved, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, for this answer to prayer, that we know where President Trump stands for you. Put a hedge of protection around President Trump. And I pray for Melania, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father, and that you would give her a heart of flesh, and that she will repent on how she believes, Father, her pro-life and her pro-liberalism, Father, that that you convict her of this, and that she would turn away from this way of thinking, and that she would turn to your son. And I also pray for the saving knowledge of all of President Trump's children, that they will come to know your son as their Lord and God of their life, Father. And I pray for J.D. Vance, that you would also put a hedge of protection around him, Father, and Elon Musk, I pray that J.D. Vance and his wife, Elon Musk and his children, will come to the saving knowledge of your son. And I pray, Father, that you would protect and give peace to Israel. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And I pray that you would protect the IDF, and that each and every soldier in the IDF will come to the saving knowledge of your son. Father, I give you thanks for having mercy on America. And I ask, Father, that you would heal us and forgive us, Father. And I also pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, Father. I pray, Father, that you'll bless Pastor Fred and his church, strengthen Pastor Fred, and I pray for Katie, that you would heal her, and that she would find her strength in you, Father, and that you would encourage her. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless everyone that is in Uber, Facebook, and Rumble, and that you would strengthen us and encourage each and every one of us, Father. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let me get over here, and here we go. We're going to close with the prayer covenant. Here we go. It went easier than I thought. Cry unto the Lord, prayer covenant. Abba, Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nations. We cry out for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that the time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humbled before you with the manifest sins of our nations, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls to the Lord Jesus, and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief, and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your Spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba Father, we love you as little children and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We're growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage, so that the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, tomorrow, we won't be streaming. You'll have to call in. The number here, 717-409-5553, in the morning for prayer. I go to a pastor's, it's open. No, it's not on pastors. It's been going on for years, and I've been going since I come here every morning. And then tomorrow evening, Bible teaching, I'm going to do Palm Sunday, and palm trees. And even though I preached it yesterday, I'm getting little, tweaks that I want to put into it. So God bless you. And this is a wonderful night. I mean, this, Sister Kathy, this is one of the, in my opinion, is she here? She is not here. Well, Sister Sharon, in my opinion,
yeah,
this is one of the best Monday nights we've had. What do you think? I hope you say yes.
I think everything was very, very solid, and everybody they prayed well and followed up with what Pastor Fred.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Sister
awesome.
Gigi and Randy, there's something tonight. It did something inside me. I don't know. I feel stronger. Like, that's the best way to explain.
And you're gonna follow up with teaching more about the palm trees. I like that.
Yes.
And I think that's caused by tonight too.
I have a wonderful short video about the Lord's house there in Ezekiel 43.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, it's an artist's rendition, but it's loaded with palm trees. And I'm looking for it. I know I have it. I know I saved it. And so I looked for it to bring it yesterday, but I couldn't find it. So I want to find it for tomorrow night. I've never shown this.
John.
Yes.
John.
Did you send it?
You showed this to us a long time ago.
No, this is different.
The one where the temple is going around in a circle?
No, this is different.
Oh.
No, and this here, in this one, you'll see palm trees all over the Lord's house there. And they're all you go inside and there's palm trees everywhere in it. So that's what I wanted to show everybody tomorrow night, if I can find it. Yes, Brother Randy.
That's great.
John?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
You know, I was doing a job in Liberia, and so I was meeting with the central bank, and on my right was the governor of the central bank, and on my left was the deputy governor of the central bank. And so when they called the meeting to order, they said, "And so now let's join hands and pray." So before we had our meetings, we had a prayer. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was something like this someplace in the U.S., like in the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve or whatever. But what I wanted to ask you was, did you know that this new this young lady that's the what's she called? Do you know
Caroline Leavitt,
the House?
Yeah,
the,
she's White wonderful. House, yeah, she's wonderful.
She prays. She prays before every meeting. Did you know that?
Yes.
They pray before every meeting that she has with the reporters.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing that film.
Yeah. If you think about it, pray that I'll find it. I know it's saved. I know it is. So, all right. And thank you, Sister Rita. Thank you, Sister Rita. God bless you now.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
Send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift. And breathe.